Neil Young by request on 91.3 WYSO, where support comes from listeners like you, and thanks. We're also supported by Meadowlark Restaurant at 5531 Far Hills Avenue. The Meadowlark Restaurant is now open on Monday nights from 5 to 9 for Pizza Monday, featuring a Monday's only menu of appetizers, salads, vegetables, and hand-tossed pizza pies. More information is available by calling 937-434-4750.
This is David Dye, host of the World Cafe, looking back on 30 years of Rev Cool and Around the Fringe. When Rev started at WYSO back in, 1982, Bob Dylan was making gospel music and the kids were still drinking 3-2 beer. You can still tune in to WYSO every Friday night to hear Rev Cool playing the best in local and world music. Here's wishing you many more Friday nights with Rev Cool.
Join me on the dance floor, 8 till midnight on 91.3.
And we're pleased to be joined for another Friday night, exceptionally awesome evening by the director and reductionist of the revision of the musical, Oliver. It is a great pleasure to welcome to Excursions, Alan Souza.
Thanks. I'm so happy to be here.
You know, we were talking a little bit off air about the ramifications of the musical, Oliver, based on a Dickens book, but became the musical, became a movie, became so much. We'll hear a song later that, you know, one of the tunes became a song sung by all the divas. I want to talk about the ripples of Oliver, but can you give us just a quick arc of the story as told now in your, without any spoilers, but the way that you're telling it at the Loft Theater starting tonight?
Well, you know, it's the bicentennial of Dickens' birth. And so a lot of the research that I had done on the piece was based around why Dickens is still relevant and why the characters are still relevant and why these stories endure. And certainly the story of Oliver Twist has been one that's been told in so many forms, as has his Christmas Carol, you know, which is popular this season. And he was a political writer. I mean, he wrote about haves and have-nots, and he wrote about the welfare of children and women and the people who were struggling to get by economically, and he was all social comment to him, and all of his stories were published in periodical form. And in the case of Oliver Twist, it was something called Bentley's Miscellany that was like in installments that came out in like a magazine. And eventually it went on to be published. It was so popular that it went on to be published, and it's considered the first Victorian novel, Oliver Twist. And but the brouhaha around that original publication was huge, and it was like the Harry Potter of its generation.
And I was thinking,
It was, and it was unprecedented how many they printed. Queen Victoria read it. I laugh and say it's sort of like Marie Antoinette. She read it and was like, oh, how interesting. She didn't really do anything about those people who were struggling, apparently, but she was enchanted by the story of a child. And at the time, I think a child as a protagonist and a child in those dire circumstances hadn't been done before. And so I think that people were sort of intrigued by that. And the Dickens characters are, at the same time, insanely comic and insanely pathetic. And I think that that's why we relate to them. They're so incredibly human. So when about 2 years ago, I was asked to make a reduction of a classic and to figure out why, not just to reduce it, you know, figure out why the story told this way would enhance the storytelling and the themes in the story. And Oliver came to mind for a bunch of reasons. And it occurred to me that the people that if the story was performed by the people that he was writing about, so if it's performed by the working class folks that this story is about, it would mirror what was happening with people being obsessed with this story in Bentley's Miscellany. And what was happening, if you sort of look back and look at all the research on it, was that people were performing unsolicited stage versions of this in public houses all over England before it was finished. And it was that popular. They were obsessed with the story and how they saw themselves in it.
It was the viral thing of the time.
And without the media that we have today, imagine the impact that it actually had. That
it
people
really
were,
is fantastic,
and how
isn't
the story
it?
Traveled all over the world and has been interpreted and was done in New York and was in all these places. So we set this version in a tavern on Christmas Eve in 1838, which is the Christmas before the story was actually finished being published. It was finished in early 1839. And so the ending is not written. And these folks are inspired, this is the part I won't tell you, you'll have to come see it, to enact the panto of Oliver Twist in this tavern on Christmas Eve. And if you know about the history of Panto and Music Hall, it started in the public houses in the Victorian age. And the Panto is incredibly popular in England every single Christmas. On Christmas Eve, they do classic stories like Mother Goose and Peter Pan and all of those classic stories.
Panto, what's the definition of Panto?
Pantomime is a...
Pantomime.
Yeah. It's a form of theatrical expression. It has men playing women and women playing men. It's often classic stories told sort of with a twist or on its head so that it's relevant in a new way. It appeals to all broad audiences and to children. It is very popular still in England. The tradition of Panto and of Music Hall, which is sort of the style that all those songs are written in the Music Hall style, because Music Hall, as we know it, came out of the public houses. They eventually built Music Halls in England for that style of entertainment. But it wasn't uncommon for people to be enacting theatrical stories as entertainment in a public house. So we sort of combined all of those ideas. And I think what I hope we're successful at is not only putting a new spin on this story so it's perceived and received a certain way, but that we actually honor what's written and how it's set and the story of Oliver Twist inside of that.
We're talking with Alan Souza. He's the director of the performance at the Loft Theater, also the reductionist revisionist. I love this idea. I just really appreciate that the heart and the soul and the kernel of the story is preserved, but it's put in a new context, recontextualized, and I just love the feel of it altogether. Our dear friend Chris Shea, often you'll hear his voice when I'm out, is among the players in this. And notably, there are only 10 actors in this whole production, and if we think of the story of Oliver, there's so many. So it's a part of the mechanism that you use of the tavern that everyone's able to step into the different characters.
Correct.
Was that's kind of a brilliant mechanism.
Well, thanks.
Thanks. Thank you.
I mean, it took 10 very versatile actors. There's one local child, and it's two women and seven men. and all of those actors have been extraordinarily creative. We throw this idea at them, and to really represent the characters as drawn by Dickens and by Lionel Bart, we had to be incredibly creative and be very careful not to make fun of the material, you know, to not mock it at all, actually to completely commit to the scenes and the ideas and the characters at hand. And so the audience feels like they did see that. You know, I think from the very beginning, if you're expecting a bunch of children with bowls, you're surprised if you know Oliver, and hopefully intrigued to sort of sit back and take the journey. You know, it is unlike any Oliver that I've seen.
It's opens tonight and runs through the next 3 weekends. So this weekend and 3 more weekends. It wraps on December 22nd. Is that right?
Yes, it's been extended till the 22nd.
Oh, really? Yeah. Is that because you've had such a nice response?
It's doing incredibly well so far for them. Yeah, Kevin Moore is really a champion of new work at that theater, and it's amazing what he brings to this area of the country and to this city. You know, the city of Dayton. He has been extraordinarily generous, and the artisans there are fantastic. It's exciting that it's a prototype production of this version made in this theater by these artists for this audience. You know, it's not brought in from anywhere. I mean, some of the actors are from New York, but it's all been rehearsed and made here. And Kevin is really, really strong in trying to make a forum for people to come and make new works or revisionist ideas like this. I mean, I kind of think as a director, I have an obligation to think of new ways to tell classic stories as opposed to just hire me to put it on stage. You know, and why would somebody want to see Oliver sort of the same over and over again? It's a fantastic movie and a really good musical.
Long movie.
Yeah, it's a big, long, expansive movie.
How long is this performance?
It's not long, actually, which is really fascinating when you sort of think of it being sort of drawn out. The first act's about 1 hour and 10 minutes, and the second act's about 40-something minutes. But it's all there. I mean, we haven't changed one word, which was the great challenge.
So the novel more or less comes out of the mouths of the actors as it originally ran.
Yeah,
wow.
I kind of think you get a sense of what Dickens wrote in the context of the musical a little bit better. You know, when you strip away all the big sets and costumes and all that stuff, you get to the heart of the story. And that's what the actors are ultimately responsible for fulfilling. And so that's what we have left. And that's what I think is interesting when you see how well constructed the musical is and also how full and rich the characters from the story are and the themes.
We're talking with Alan Souza, and that's with a Z, by the way.
It is.
We sussed that out. And tell us a little bit, I mean, how do you come to Dayton? Were you born and raised here, or were you drawn here?
No, I'm from New Jersey.
Yeah.
And I live in New York City for many, many years. I was hired, I guess it was in 2002 or some many years ago now, about 10 years ago, to be in a production of the musical Was at The Human Race. I was still an actor full time. And that was another original musical based on that British novel that's very twisted and dark and dense. And Kevin gathered a really superb bunch of artists to give it a shot. And so I was like, who are these people and what are they doing out here? And how interesting.
And
I became close with Marcia, who ran it for many years, and with Kevin. And then I came back and directed about 4 years ago. I directed a play about John Lennon and the FBI called Ears on the Beetle for them, a two character play. And then when this idea came to pass, and there's lots of people sort of interested and involved in it, I brought the idea to Kevin. And I said, I'm looking for a place to do this as the original production and to make this. And are you interested? And curiously, he said one of the musicals we've always wanted to do but couldn't figure out how to reduce was Oliver, you know. And so I pitched the idea to him, and he grabbed on, and it sort of elevated from there.
It's perfect for this season, in a way, for the season as we head into the holidays and we think about the giving and sort of seeing that everyone is seen to and looked after. You can get tickets at TicketCenterStage.com. You can right there at the top of the page is Oliver. Again, that's TicketCenterStage.com. A couple of sold-out shows already, and it's my understanding they're filling up quite nicely.
Very fast,
and, yeah. And it would be nice for children. You can bring the family.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing, the dark story that's behind it, but it's a real moral tale for children, and there's plenty of entertainment value. So it is fun for the whole family.
So we'll consider that, and we'll have maybe some tickets to give away in the days to come. But if you'd like to make sure that you're going and maybe take your family too, TicketCenterStage.com. Again, that's TicketCenterStage.com. So pleased that you could come out and talk with us today, Alan.
So glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
What a delight. What a richness. And we were talking about the tune we're about to hear by Shirley Bassey, a tune from the original musical that became a tune that every diva sang. It became, it's of that high quality that some of the finest voices that ever laid note to song were drawn to this. Can you tell us first a little bit about where this occurs in the musical and a little bit about the, you know, sort of the moment that this song inhabits, and then we'll listen to Shirley Bassey.
Sure. I mean, we were saying before we went on air about how the popular music came out of the golden age of musicals at that time.
When there was a Broadway musical that was a hit, those songs were also on the radio simultaneously.
Absolutely. And so Shirley Bassey's recording is very famous, as is Judy Garland's and Lena Horne's and all those gals. This tune comes in the second act. It's when Nancy, who is one of the band of thieves, is being terribly abused by her lover, Bill Sykes, in front of the boys. And she has to justify that. And so she sings about why she makes the choices to stay in the abusive relationship, because she's needed there. And certainly, again, like when you look at women's issues and children's issues of the time, you know, this piece is incredibly relevant. And I think that how it's set musically, how beautifully it's set, how eloquently the lyric is set, and with the sensitivity, you know, without sort of getting graphic about what's happening to this lady, is why these singers are drawn to this, you know, the lady who's singing the song, because it is incredibly actable, you know, with any situation in our lives where we are perceived as less than and why we allow that to happen. So it's sort of, I think that's why it's endured as a complete classic. I mean, I think it's one of the most famous songs from the Broadway canon.
Alan Souza, you're a delight to talk to. Let's do this on a more regular basis. And thanks so much for coming. Good luck tonight, opening night. Oliver, a sort of reductionist re-envisioning, but with the core intact, opens tonight at the Loft Theater, the Human Race Theater, doing great things. And thank you for being a part of that, Alan.
Thank you. So glad to be here.